League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Monday, the 9th of September, 2024. Ninth day, ninth month, year 2024. By the way, if you want to receive my free tips email, visit sharepickers.com/tips. There may be one going out next week. There was not one this week, okay? Don't say one every week. By the way, just by signing up to this list gives you an added benefit. Listen to the end of the podcast to find out. Okay. It's been a difficult week, last week in the markets. Very difficult, very choppy. I think there's more to come. I really do. I think we now see the labour market, in fact, in the UK as well, as the US, softening. And this can accelerate. You can't sort of predict these things happening, but once you get a softening economy, you find it takes a while. The jobs numbers are a lagging factor. But when it starts to get steam up, I mean, it's in US, it's still expanded, but at a slower rate and below forecasts. Like I said, it's a lagging factor. Once it starts to speed up, then you find you go towards recession or head towards recession faster than economists predict all the time. Okay, like I said, it's a tough market. Investing is difficult. You know, there's so many things to look at when you're investing. So hopefully, here's an observation, okay? And in this market, like I've said for a long time, if you are playing still pre-revenue loss-making stocks on very much the hope-hype potential story, it's going to be a difficult market. It has been for a while. I flipped that strategy. Must have been 18 months back now. And I realize, you know, raising money was going to be difficult. And it's going to be difficult for a long time. I don't see interest rates coming down very quickly. So the only way to go, when you can't, you know, generate cash yourself, where do you get the cash from? Basically, investors, share issuance, equity issuance, okay? That's very hard at the moment. And it's going to be hard for a long time. So you've got to focus on profitable companies. You know, that game has changed. Easy, you know, free money is gone. And that's why you see, you know, most of AIM suffering because they are loss-making companies, a lot of the stocks on AIM. But there are some great businesses earning profits on AIM. And you have to understand, the last 10 years from, like, 2009 to 2021 was the longest period of lowest interest rates ever. Ever. It's a very unusual environment. That is not going to happen again. If it does, not for a long time. So we are going to be in an interest rate environment where the interest rates are a lot higher than they have been over the last 15 years. So you have to adjust and evolve. That's what, as humans, we're very good at, evolving. Now, if you're still playing the loss-making, pre-revenue, hope-high potential plays, it's going to be a difficult time. And I'm not saying avoid them completely. You know, if you've got companies with a decent chunk of cash and they can see them beyond 12 months, that's fine. But, you know, companies that are not earning cash, generating cash, and have to raise that cash are going to find it very hard. Anyway, here's an observation, hopefully, that will help you pick companies that help increase the probability of you achieving positive returns from your investments. Remember, you are investing in businesses, not stock prices, businesses as an investor. If you're investing in stock prices, that's trading, pretty much. So, only invest in improving companies or businesses. And that sounds obvious, but you'd be surprised how many people jump into stocks whose share prices fall off a cliff due to a profit warning. Profit warnings don't exist on their own. I do say in my book, actually, recently I used the analogy, they're like flying ants. There's very few, you never see one flying ant. If there's one, there's many. Profit warnings are the same. And conversely, when a company is doing very well, and they generally outperform, they tend to outperform because they've got the right product, the right management in place. So, only invest in improving companies. And I mean in regards to performance, in regards to performers, these are companies that have been doing well for a while, and recovery plays. And they should be improving on three metrics. Obviously, there's more to look at. I'm trying to keep it simple. But, top line. Everything stems from the top line. So is their revenue growing? Check that out. FTSE Russell company. Next, profit before tax. Is that growing? And thirdly, cash. That should be growing as well, from operations, not through, you know, issuing equity or raising debt. If you try and stick to those three parameters, revenue, profit before tax, and cash, if they're all improving, then the business is generally improving. Obviously, you have to read the outlook statements as well. So in the company updates today, I'll try and in future, I'll try, if it's relevant, to, you know, give those figures, those metrics, revenue, profit before tax, and cash, all right? Okay, let's go into macro. New story number one. This is from The Telegraph. This is quite worrying. The jobs market has suffered its worst month in more than a decade, according to new analysis that will add pressure for a further interest rate cut. A report by accountant BDO found that the strength of the jobs market declined for the 14th consecutive month in August, with a reading of 95.89. Anything over 95 signals growth, meaning recruitment is still just expanding, but this was the lowest score since January 2013. And this is how it evolves. And it's happening in America too. You tend to get the growth in jobs slowing. And of course, almost that becomes flat, or break even pretty much, and then that goes to negative. The jobs market has faced a declining number of vacancies, with many businesses slowing or freezing hiring as they weather tougher economic conditions. And like I said, there is always this lag, you know, between interest rates going up and the effects it has on the economy. And I think this lag is now being felt. It suggests higher interest rates are starting to bite. The BDO index, a poll of polls made up from data from the UK's most influential business surveys, is likely to be among data considered by the Bank of England policymakers as they weigh up whether to cut borrowing costs again later this month. They're saying, you know, that the forecast is keeping interest rates on hold. I don't think they should. It's literally, you know, inflation's down. And of course, nothing brings inflation down like a slower economy and a slower jobs market. There are also more people claiming unemployment-related benefits in August, at the highest level since December 2021, according to figures from the ONS. That's story one. Story two, from City AM. The founder of Pimlico Plumbers has turned his back on London with parting shot at the new Labour government. London native Charlie Mullins, who's now a permanent resident in Marbella, all right, Marbella, mate, said in an interview on Sunday Times that he plans to sell his £10 million apartment overlooking the Shard and the London Eye. His departure comes amid a growing pipeline of speculation of what tax rules the new Labour government will reveal for the wealthy in October's budget. This is Charlie. I honestly don't want to sell it. It's the best place I've ever lived in. 71-year-old, so I'll drop the accent. Or maybe I'll just hammer up even more. I'm taking all my money and investments out of UK. The government are driving people with money away from the country. Why would people want to stay in the UK? Mullins, who sold Pimlico Plumbers for £140 million to the private equity company KKR in 2021, is one of the many wealthy Britons hurrying to sell their assets due to speculation that Keir Starmer's budget on the 30th of October will hike capital gains and inheritance tax. Now, it's all fair and well, people saying, I've heard this, you know, it's almost the politics of envy from people saying, bye-bye then, off you go, Charlie, enjoy yourself in Marbella. What these people fail to understand is someone like Charlie Mullins, if you look back over his history, the amount of wealth he's created for this country will be by far a positive. Just consider how much, you know, tax he's paid. Then consider how many people he's employed. Then consider how much tax they've paid. And then consider the knock-on effects of those people earning money, spending more in the economy. People like Charlie Mullins are wealth creators. They are a benefit, a positive to our economy. Now, just not waving these people off is just not good enough. It's a far better to have these people within our economy than outside it. Full stop. You have to sort of create an environment that makes entrepreneurs want to live here, want to start businesses, want to employ people. That way, you get a healthier economy that's growing, paying more tax. And that then raises the standards for everyone. You know, more money can be spent on the NHS. That needs to be more efficient. But on infrastructure, on local communities, all that, education. If these people start leaving, it's not a good sign. You know, go on, rich people, off you go. That's a brain-dead response. They are wealth creators. Just consider the amount of people they've employed and tax they've employed or paid into the account, into the government, in the HMRC over the last 10, 20 years. And the people criticising them, how much have they actually created? What wealth have they created for the economy? Finally, City AM as well. I find this quite interesting. Santander has cracked down on its approach to hybrid working. And yet another sign the UK companies are beginning to favour more in-office working patterns. The Spanish-owned bank has informed nearly 10,000 employees across the UK that they must now work in the office 3 days a week instead of its previous two-day week policy. Santander's move comes following a number of other companies making the switch from 2 days a week to three, including PwC, which ordered staff back into the office this week. The Big Four firm told its employees and partners just last week this new hybrid working policy will require them to spend at least 3 days a week with clients or in the office. It's going back, isn't it, a five-day working week, at least 4 days. And when you think about it, that'll be good for the economy. People travel, people spend out a bit more. Because they're saying now, you know, cities, especially London, I think, very quiet on Mondays and, what is it, Fridays. So I think this could be a positive. And if you get the big companies doing this, you know, or you need sort of, you know, 50 big companies that have, you know, like I said, 10,000 employees, that means a lot. That will help a lot. And I think this trend is going back to work, back to the office now, will continue. It's not a bad thing. You know, I do enjoy working from home, though, but I don't have a big boss. Oh, I do. My wife. Story four. New figures are expected to show that the economy's surprisingly strong start of 2024 will continue into the second half of the year in a boost for Keir Starmer's Labour government. Economists think that the latest monthly GDP figures, by the way, GDP is set to be released this week for the UK, will show that the economy grew by 0.3% in July. The solid expansion will likely be driven by consumer-facing parts of the services sector, which have benefited from an improved improvement in the weather. The weather's been dreadful last week. Figures out last month showed retail sales volumes climbed by 0.5% month-to-month in July, having fallen 0.9% in June due to poor weather. But the bounce back is not going to be as strong as it was at the start of the year. I just think if you continue your policies, though, of driving wealthy out and putting big taxes on them, it won't continue. Okay, micro news. First one up. Brave Bison, BBSN, the digital advertising and technology services company, their reports as unaudited interim results for 6 months ended 30th of June. Commenting on the results, Oliver Green, Executive Chairman, said, "We are pleased to report strong trading in the first half of the year and expect a momentum to build as we approach the last few months of 2024 with adjusted EBITDA of 2.1 million H1, an increase of 20% year-on-year. We expect to deliver results ahead of market expectations." Now, I'm surprised by this because they have dropped on this. I think they've done very well in a tough environment, Brave Bison. And where are they at the moment? In fact, they're down just 1% at 2.52 pence. But did they rise up there recently? Oh, they did have a little bit of a rise, I suppose. They did rise by 11% on Friday and about 1% before that, day before. So they have risen a little bit and they've come back a little bit today. But they did seem to be trading in a range. And someone said top end of the range is 2.8 pence, which they need to break. To start a new uptrend. Market cap is 32 million. Share price is 2.5 pence. Target price is 4.7. So let's see if they're improving. Net revenue, gross profit, 10.1 million versus 10 million. So yes. Profit before tax, 1.2 million versus a loss of 200,000. Improving on that metric. Cash of 6.88 million versus 4.45 million. I'm not sure that's via raising money or what, but that's a big increase in the cash there. So on those three metrics, it looks like they are improving. So maybe you want to watch Brave Bison. It's struggled to break that range. It's been in that sort of range now for since January. So maybe people are losing a bit of faith. Who knows? Selling into a bit of strength. Hosmall, this is a basket case. I covered this a while back, and I thought, this isn't, who is one of these? Is it Rockwood, I think, Strategic, have invested in these? I thought, that's very risky. So this is a company that own, is it the restaurant's Thursdays? And they've gone to acquire Fridays, TGI Fridays, which I thought was a bust brand. TGI Fridays, let's be honest, it is like a, what, 2000s, 1990s brand. I mean, who goes to TGI Fridays anymore? Anyway, they're going to acquire TGI Fridays in the US, which suggests to me they're struggling over there as well. But they say today, the board has now confirmed with TGI Fridays that the trustee, stick with this, it's quite complex, the trustee of TGI Fridays corporate securitization terminated TGI Fridays as the manager of TGIF Funding LLC, which is the company subject to the corporate securitization. Anyway, following the termination, the acquisition is no longer being actively pursued. And they've gone for a sale process update. The sale process of the group's corporate stores announced on the 6th of August has now reached an advanced stage. It is the board's present expectation that the company, being the listed non-trading holding company of Thursdays, will be wound up and delisted contemporaneously with the conclusion of sale process, as TGI Fridays in the UK will continue its operations under new ownership. Now, their trading updates are very bad, and they've taken on more debt to fund this, well, hopefully, to fund this TGI Fridays thing. And I just thought, it's a crazy situation. Why would you invest in this? It's just too risky, absolutely way too risky. And as a result now, today's announcement, the share price dropped 86%. And that's with a bit of a bounce. It was down sort of 90-odd percent. But where are they now? Well, the market cap is almost about 2 million. It's gone from a 12 million market cap to about 2 million, I think, on today's news. So again, it's not improving. And I couldn't see it, you know. And when I say improving, it has to be improving in the figures, not what they say. Because you can read lots of positive, you know, commentary from CEOs. And then you look at the figures, and think, no, that flies in the face of the figures. Doesn't really work. By the way, I covered last week another bit of a basket case was Invinity Energy Systems, IES ticker. Like I said, the CEO, profit warning last week, the CEO stepped down because apparently he'd done his part and now he's moving on. But they did do a profit warning massively. And like I said, they were going to do 1.6 million, I think, of revenue for the first half. And their target for the year was 30.8 million. Brokers have just come out with forecasts. And even though they said, you know, revenues would be very much H2 weighted, they'd be super obese to catch up to 30 million. It looks like now they're going to get nowhere near that. So they're saying now revenue for this year will be 4.8 million. That's versus 30.8 million previously forecast. In 2025, apparently they're going to do 27.6 million. Versus 123.4 million, which was previously forecast. And in 2026, they reckon they do 101.2 million versus 200 million. Halved there. So, and also, I can't see how you have any faith in these figures. We can see how far off, you know, actual figures are compared to the forecasts. So and until those figures are booked and reported, I wouldn't give any weight to these forecasts whatsoever. Like the only saving grace here is they did raise a big chunk of change, about 50 million recently, but how fast are they burning through that? Because it is a highly capital-intensive model. Building these vanadium flow batteries, it's not cheap, you know? And it's also questionable as to whether it's a viable business model, looking at their last trading update. So again, stay well clear, unless you're trading for a bounce based on the cash. But again, how much cash they burned. Next, Norman Broadbent, a leading executive search and interim management firm, is pleased to announce its unaudited interim results for the 6 months ended 30th of June 2024. I don't know what they're pleased for. Revenue's down again, you know, 18% to 5 million. Net fee income of 4.5 million, down 13%. Loss before tax of £73,000 versus an £8,000 profit. Cash and equivalents of 48K versus 81K. Again, they've not improved on any metric. their market cap of 4.6 million. And I just think maybe too small to be viable there, but it's all going in the wrong direction. But they are pleased to announce that. Next, Onkimoon. It's not a good name, is it? Onk is ticker. Onk, a leading autoantibody profiling company providing research services to the pharmaceutical and biotechnology industry to enable the delivery of precision medicine, is pleased to provide a trading update following strong commercial progress since the last update on the 21st of May 2024. As previously announced, Onkimoon expects to deliver approximately $3 million of revenue in full year 2024, and with recent contracts underpinning activity in 2025, expects to deliver substantial revenue growth for the full year or financial year 25 and achieve profitability in that financial year. You've always got to question what they mean by profitability. Do they mean pre-tax or net profit, or do they mean EBITDA profitability? Because that ain't real profitability. Anyway, I took the interim results, recently results, last set of results released. Revenue is 1.18 million versus 1.15, so a little bit of improvement there. Loss before income tax from continuing operations, 1.1 million versus 5.9. So it's an improvement, but they're still loss making. They had cash of 911K versus 3.2 million. So you can see how much cash they're burning. They've got a market cap of 14 million. Now, I did look, maybe I missed something, unless they've got some kind of loan notes or something, but they're going to need cash, aren't they? I don't see them, they haven't raised since that the year end there on the interims. Now, for 2024, they forecast to do like 3 million, net loss about 3 million. So I don't see how that cash is going to last. Am I missing something? Please let me know. 2025, they're forecast to do about 7 million top line, a net profit about 800K. For me, that's an avoid. Next, the Pebble Group. PEBB, this is not Pebble Beach Systems, which is PEB, this is PEBB. This is a leading provider of digital commerce products and related services to the global promotions products industry, announced its audited results for the 6 months ended 30th of June. Remember, the standout performer in this sector, a lot bigger than this company, is 4imprint, but that's been like a 10 bag over the last 10 years. But they do say strong operational progress with performance for full year 24 expected to be in line with market expectations. Now, I do think now if we are going through a period of slower growth, that's questionable in the UK, then these kind of promotional companies may not do so well because people don't tend to spend, do they, when they're up against it, you know, financially. Anyway, revenue, 60.8 million versus 63.3, so down 4%. Profit before tax, 2.9 million versus 3.1, so down 6%, and net cash of 4.9 versus 4.2. So cash went up, but other two metrics went down. Market cap, 98 million, share price, 58, and the target price from the brokers is 112. So they're seeing decent upside there. Next, Symphony Environmental. This has been around for a long time, and the share price has just grinded lower for many years. And I thought these would be a benefit of, you know, the anti-plastics movement and more sustainable material environment, but they haven't seemed to. Anyway, these are for the six-month period. Group revenue, 3.4 versus 3.6, so that's gone down. Operating loss reduced by 50% to 400,000 from 800,000. They're always around that. It's always small numbers. Okay, they've improved their operating loss, but they're still loss-making. Successful equity fundraiser 1.3, extension of 1.5 million convertible loan notes to the 31st December 2025. Market cap 7 million. Share price, what is the share price at the moment today? Let's look at share price Symphony. It did dip early on. It's now at 3.3 pence. Market cap is, about 7 million. Onkimoon, by the way, is up 21%. Don't believe the promotion on this on social media. They're a paid client of the person promoting them. And they should reveal that. So that's it on that one. So I don't see Symphony making any headway. They haven't for like 20 years. You'd think now, you know, they should have some kind of tailwinds, but they don't seem to. Next, I'm going to be biased in this company because I hold the company. I think it's a great business. And the CEO passed away recently. I did say on my webinar, I don't think operations will be that affected. You know, they employ quite a few people in the fields of sales, and they also have reseller channels. So I don't think the CEO will affect operations, even though he set up an amazing platform for this company to flourish. And that was Paul Webb. So Synectics, a leader in advanced security and surveillance systems, announced that it's been awarded a further contract worth $3.2 million relating to the upgrade and expansion of the surveillance systems at a major gaming resort in Southeast Asia. The contract is in addition to the $10 million contract awarded on the 18th of June. The customer has been using Synergy, which is their software platform. They sell hardware and software, which is good for recurring revenue. The company's proprietary software platform since 2014, and the contracts will expand and upgrade the customer's existing system to the latest version of Synergy. The contract is expected to be delivered year-end, 30th of November 2025. Now, let's look. Is this company improving? Okay, they've got a market cap of $31 million, that's all. Cash of $4.6 million, up from $4.2 million. In fact, So that last set of results, by the way, 2023, revenue went up 25% to $49 million. They expect to do $52.9 million this year, okay? Forecast revenue, $3.6 million in pre-tax profit. And that's from 2.6, up to 3.5. Cash has gone up from 4.6 to 4.2. Share price is currently... Synectics says it's up 6.7% to 199. This is a PE of this sub 10. The margins are good. They're generating cash. It's under the radar. This is a very good company. Take a look at it. Do some research. They're not overvalued. They're almost towards the top end of the microcap league. All right. That means they've got growth, value, health, efficiency, momentum, and potential. Growth and value. That's very rare to have growth and value. Normally, companies with growth. So the, you know, it's priced in, and the valuation can be a bit stretched. This has growth and value. You just marry those two metrics together. It's very rare to find that in a company. But share price target is 293. They are 199. And the brokers didn't upgrade on here, but it says it does underpin those forecasts because obviously more revenue coming in. Anything else? That's it, I think, for today. Just quick look at the markets. FTSE. 100, bit of a bounce on here, up 0.2% or 0.66 to 8,235. You've got the FTSE 250 up again, similar amount, 0.2% to 20,065. The FTSE small cap, it's up 0.3%, 6,838. What is the AIM All Share doing? It's up again, you know, 0.4% to 746. It struggled a bit. We did have a big cap profit warning, one of the biggest constituents of the AIM All Share, dropping by about 50% on Friday, which exacerbated the fall, I think. Gold, it's up to $2,526 an ounce. It has formed a new range there, pretty much between $2,500, $2,510, and $2,070. I think it'll break out of that, the upside. Copper's bouncing a little bit. Oh, it's in a bit of a range. It hit a low on August the 8th, and it's rallying a little bit. What else we got? Brent crude has bounced a bit here. Like I said, last week, which is quite worrying because this signifies global growth, especially China and America, but it did dip. This is Brent crude, by the way. It did dip below $72 a barrel. It's still below the now, but it's bounced a little bit to 72.05. So it is at... It hit this level in June 23, but going back as far as this level has supported it, going back to 2021. And we are, up down from a high, which is $125 back on the 10th of June. So we're interested to see where we're going here. It's a little bit of worry about global economy, I think. When you've got questions around China and America, that affects a lot of countries if growth there slows down. But we'll see. Anyway, that's it. Thanks so much for listening. Much appreciated. By the way, sharepickers.com/tips. Just by signing up to this list means you qualify for 20% off the Sharepickers Investment Club. Members' benefits include easy access, or early access, sorry, to the share tips, a free copy of my book, How to Become a Microcap Millionaire, ahead of official publishing in December, access to view my holdings, which I update after any new transactions, access to the live weekly webinar where we multiple stock ideas discussed and analysed, access to the Microcap League, where there are now 76 microcap companies, profitable microcap companies, that are color-coded, scored, analyzed on 20 different metrics. Access to educational videos on fundamental analysis, technical analysis, and portfolio management. And access to the chat group, sharepickers.com/tips. Muchos apreciados.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.